Looking back on the life profiles of the clergy I've known, one of the biggest bewildering surprises have been those clergy who suddenly tossed in the towel, gone to do something else with their lives, and have never gone near a church again. I'm not talking about those who withdrew from ministry early on because they found it wasn't for them. That sort of attrition rate is normal, and in fact saves the church from unhappy and ineffective clergy battling on in the face of vocational unsuitability and being a source of distress to themselves and to those they minister to. I'm talking about those who have been in the game for a while, who appeared to be settling down to a lifetime career in ministry and then gave the game away for no apparent reason. I'm also talking about those who only just staggered across the finish line to get Winnie's gold card and then gave up church going as though it were a chore and a bore they'd had to endure as an irksome aspect of a tedious profession. As I said to the bishop recently, I can't understand how, having taken on the joyful yoke of obedience, priests can just walk away from it. Sure, there are irritating and difficult people to deal with. There are disappointments and frustrations that come your way. But this is a wonderful vocation, and it's a privilege to share in some small way in Christ's ministry to his church. What happens, I suspect, when one of our priests goes missing is that a slow, withering process of internal attrition has been going on for some time that's damped down the fire in the belly and has diminished their enthusiasm for ministry. They've become complacent and have not taken steps to regenerate and renew their motivation for ministry. The reasons one is a parish priest in later years are not usually the same reasons that one came into ministry with. It is the kind of job that finds out all your immaturity and obliges you to do something about it. It also pitilessly exposes a loss of faith, hope, and love within. Your people can soon pick up the signals that you're not interested anymore, that you've lost that loving feeling. So it's vital in each season of your life in ministry to find a new source of vocational refreshment. The no grounds for complacency message comes across clearly in this morning's gospel reading. Those who assume that by turning up to the teaching sessions of Jesus, by doing that they've done enough to be included in the final feast of the kingdom, are given an astringent and perspective-changing reply to their question. It also turns out that membership of the chosen people doesn't automatically entitle you to be in at the finish. Salvation isn't handed out with the rations, as it were. Enthusiastic effort is required. You have to want to be included in the kingdom and to be prepared to do something about it. You have to show your willingness to follow the teaching. The famous saying about entering by the narrow door has sometimes been interpreted by the scrupulous and fearful as indicating a harsh and judgmental God who will consign all but a small segment and remnant of the human race to final rejection. Only those who try very hard to squeeze in through the narrow door will make it. The opposite is true. We're dealing with a very generous God who doesn't limit his gracious provision to just an in-group of entitled ones. He reaches out to east and west, to north and south, to bring in those who the righteous thought were outside the interest and concern of the God of Israel. One of the issues that's being addressed this morning is an attitude of mind that can arise within the household of faith. When people come to assume that God is codependent on them, we certainly need him, but he also needs us, they think. Without us, his presence in the world ceases to exist. Actually, that isn't the case. As Jesus said at his entry into Jerusalem, God could raise up from these stones those who would praise him. A complacent in-group who think they've got God in their pocket will be in for a rude surprise when God reaches out to those they thought were beyond the pale. The God who can't be taken for granted is also radically different to us, a God who inspires awe and wonder and fear and trembling. This is a God who appeared to Job out of the whirlwind, a God of holiness who expects holiness of life of those who follow him. We can't domesticate him or expect him to complacently go along with the norms of a society that has lost interest in God. He is different and we must be different. He is holy and we must be holy. I began by talking about the sad fate of clergy who let the fire go out of their bellies. The danger applies to all of us. I could think of many parallels in the lives of lay people I've known. They lost interest in loving and serving God, in worshipping Him and praying to Him and belonging to His body, the church. There was a lack of due care and attention to the relationship that really matters. Perhaps they complacently assumed that God wouldn't lose interest in them, that He would have to accept them into the halls of eternity, because after all, He's a God of forgiveness and compassion and infinite patience. This, of course, is taking God for granted, a very dangerous thing to do. Worship and prayer and belonging to the community of life of the church are activities that exist for our sake. They help us. God doesn't need them to go on being God. These are relationship and sustaining and building activities. We are the losers if we don't engage in them. We know in our own experience of our key friendship group and our family relationships that they need to be nurtured by regular contact and communication. In this way, we make it likely that they'll be there for us in time of need. If we do not refresh the wellsprings of intimacy regularly, we cannot be surprised if we end up feeling rather alone and unsupported. God deserves this kind of regular contact and communication. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. We also need to be on our guard to prevent our relationship with God going stale. In each season of our life, we need to find new grounds for hope and faith and love in God, new resources for deepening and confirming our faith. The Christian knowledge and faith understanding we had at confirmation needs to advance to a new level. Just as a marriage requires some spontaneity and thoughtful attention to keep it strong and vital, so does our relationship with God. Each one of us should endeavour to keep the fire in our belly, our enthusiasm for God, to keep alive the love we had at first for Him. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.